John 15, verses 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Thus far God's word.
Please pray with me. Lord God, we come in your Son, through your Spirit. Lord, we come, Lord, wanting to hear from you. Lord, rejoicing that, Lord, we can come into your presence, and you would, Lord, lift our hearts now, Lord, up to heaven, and give us eyes to behold your Son, his love, his glory, his truth, his beauty, Lord, and that you would take our eyes off of ourselves and fix them onto him, and that we, our souls, would be satisfied in him. Father, we trust in you to do this, for we cannot do it. And so, Lord, we come now waiting before you, and pray that you would work in us, in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen.
We continue this morning our series on Jesus' call of his disciples. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Last week, if you remember, we explored God's identity and actions as the fisher of men. We saw how our God has been successfully fishing from the beginning, how he caught Abraham out of the sea of evil and wickedness of this world, and he's still successfully catching people today. Also, how our God does not fish haphazardly. He brought forth Isaac, the child of promise, according to his plan and power, and he's still doing so today. And we saw how our God always fishes with a purpose. How he blessed Jacob so that he might be a blessing. He still does that today. Remember, our calling to be fishers of men never parts from God's identity and actions as the fisher of men. We only fish because God fishes. This morning, we want to look at how we are made fishers of men. Jesus says to his disciples in Matthew 4:19, I will make you fishers of men. How are we made fishers of men? How does this happen? To begin, I think we can simply look at Jesus' promise and notice the subject of the verb make is none other than the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He says, I will make. Jesus is the only one who makes fishers of men. Also, let us notice the sense of the verb make. It implies a process of becoming or being transformed into something new. We must remember that the call or the promise to be made fishers of men is given in the context of the call to discipleship. Jesus says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. This process of becoming or being transformed happens to us as committed disciples. Jesus only makes disciples fishers of men. We can already see that the way we are made fishers of men is through a process of being in relationship with Jesus. This process of transformation, as we are in relationship with Jesus, is also known as sanctification. And sanctification is nothing less than the truth about us in heaven being realized more and more here upon earth. And what I want us to see this morning is that Jesus making us fishers of men as his disciples is directly related to us living out our heavenly union with Christ more and more here on earth. This is in line with how Jesus was made a fisher of men. Because as the Son of God, he was in union with his Father. We become fishers of men because as believers, we are united with Christ. Therefore, let us turn to the subject of the morning and see how fishers of men are made in heaven. Fishers of men are made in heaven. So please turn with me to the book of John, chapter 15. We're going to look at verse 5 specifically. And we want to see first how we are made fishers of men in union with God. We are made fishers of men in union with God. We read in John 15, 5. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. Jesus uses an illustration here of a vine and branches to picture the relationship between himself and his disciples. Just as there is a necessary natural union between a vine and its branches, there is a necessary supernatural union between Jesus and his disciples. Disciples are necessarily, supernaturally united with Christ. And the result of this necessary supernatural union, as with the necessary natural union between a vine and its branches, is the bearing of much fruit. Jesus continues in John 15, 5. He says, whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. So just as branches united with the vine can expect to bear grapes, fruit, disciples united with Christ can expect to bear much fruit as well. However, we must ask, where branches unite with the vine bear grapes. What do disciples united with Christ bear? Well, the much fruit here, I believe, is ultimately referring to new converts coming to believe through our witness. However, I want us to realize that the fruit of new converts is never produced alone. Rather, new converts are produced always with the production of the fruit of active faith, demonstrated love, and embodied truth. Disciples supernaturally united with Christ produce lives of active faith, demonstrated love, and embodied truth, which lead to the bearing of the fruit of new converts. What I want us to see and realize this morning is that the virtues of faith, love, and truth are the necessary characteristics of any fisher of men. We are made fishers of men in union with Jesus Christ. For anyone to be made a fisher of men is dependent upon a living, personal, supernatural union with Jesus Christ. This should not surprise us. For Jesus Christ becoming a fisher of men depended upon his living, personal, supernatural union with his Father. Jesus Christ lived a life of active faith, demonstrated love, and embodied truth because of the union with his Father. Such faith, love, and truth were the earthly result of the heavenly union in heaven. So Jesus Christ, we can say, was made a fisher of men in union with the Father. Jesus lived a life of active faith, trust, of active trust. We see this in his imitation of, obedience to, and dependence upon the Father. Jesus imitated his Father. You can skip over with me to John 5:19. John 5:19, where Jesus says this. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you," again, this is John 5:19, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." Jesus faithfully followed the example of his Father. Jesus also obeyed his Father. In the latter half of John 15:10, which we read, or Ken read during our scripture reading, Jesus says, "I have kept," so this is the latter half of 15:10, "I have kept my Father's commandments." All of Jesus' words, works, and wounds were because he faithfully obeyed his Father. Jesus, moreover, completely depended upon his Father. In John, back to John 5, verse 30, Jesus says this, "I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me." So Jesus faithfully depended upon his Father. What I want us to see is that Jesus perfect imitation of, obedience to, and dependence upon his Father was because he perfectly trusted his Father. And he perfectly trusted his Father because, as Jesus says in John 10, verse 30, I and the Father am one. Jesus' active life of faith was the earthly outflow, byproduct of the Son of God's heavenly union with the Father. Let us realize as well that Jesus' active life of faith was how he was able to become a fisher of men. Jesus perfectly fished for men because he perfectly trusted his Father in heaven. Imagine with me a man in a boat upon the waves of the sea. He's fishing. In success, he catches another fish. He reels it in and puts it with all the others. This man is pleased with his catch. If you and I saw this man upon the waves of the sea and in his boat full of fish, we would wonder at his success. And if you and I were given the opportunity to ask him about it, he would say, yes, I am a fisherman and I've been successful. But you have to understand, I'm only doing what I am told. You see, I have this little radio here and I am in constant communication with my captain on shore. He tells me where to go, what fish to go after, what technique to use. I trust him completely. And we would ask him, you trust him completely? And you do everything he tells you to do? And he would say, yes. If I didn't trust him and didn't do what he said, I couldn't catch any fish. My trust is essential. And we would ask him still, why do you trust the captain so? After you're here and he's back on shore. And the man would smile and say, my captain is a master fisherman. But more importantly, he is my Father. And I know he loves me and he will never give me the wrong directives. And I love him. And all these fish are for him. The union of our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit produced the ministry of the man, Jesus Christ. A ministry characterized by active faith. And such active faith is what made Jesus Christ a fisher of men. Jesus Christ's imitation of, obedience to, dependence upon his Father is what made him a fisher of men. Jesus Christ is made a fisher of men in union with his Father. Now, as we noted earlier, we are made fishers of men in union with Jesus Christ. Just as Jesus, the Son of God, followed, obeyed, depended upon his Father, we are called to follow, obey, and depend upon the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Our necessary supernatural union with Jesus Christ that we see in John 15:5. Whoever abides in me and I in him is based upon the necessary supernatural union with the Son of God and the Father. As Jesus explains, and if you look in John 14, verse 11, Jesus says, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. The Son's union with the Father defines our union with Christ. And therefore, in light of this reality, we want to understand that similar to how the Father, Son, and Spirit produced the ministry of Jesus Christ, a ministry characterized by act of faith, and such act of faith made him a fisher of men, we will be made fishers of men as we learn to imitate, we learn to obey, we learn to depend upon Jesus Christ, to live lives of active faith, lives only made possible because of our union with Christ in heaven. Do you see how our heavenly union with Christ, Jesus being the vine and we being the branches, each of us abiding in Him and Him in each of us, produces the fruit of active faith, lives in which the imitation of, obedience to, and dependence upon Jesus Christ is increasing and deepening. It will be such active faith, growing in such active faith, that will make us fishers of men. We are made fishers of men in union with Jesus Christ. We can imagine with me us in a boat upon the waves of the sea. We want to fish. However, if we never learn to be in constant communication with our captain, listening to where to go, what fish to go after, or what technique to use, if we never learn to trust Him, then we will be unsuccessful fishermen. As our own captain said when he was fishing, trust is essential. If you don't learn to trust, you won't catch any fish. We must realize that we will be successful fishermen only when we learn to trust our captain on shore. We can trust him. After all, let us remember that our captain, along with his father, is a master fisherman. But more importantly, he is our elder brother. He loves us and he will never give us the wrong directives. Let us love him, trust him, and catch as many fish as we can for him. So we've seen so far that we are made fishers of men in union with God. Just as Jesus Christ was made a fisher of men in union with his Father, we are made fishers of men in union with Jesus Christ. Let us see next how we are made fishers of men in union with the church. If we look back to John 15:5, well, Jesus does say, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Speaking of an individual, we must understand that Jesus is speaking to the community of believers. Jesus does not say, I am the vine, you are the branch. Rather, he reveals, I am the vine, you are the branches. Both uses of the personal pronoun you in verse 5 are plural. So, you are the branches, that's easy enough, you plural. But at the end as well, apart from me, you plural can do nothing. Therefore, we must acknowledge that if any individual bears fruit and is made a fisher of men, they never do so in isolation. Rather, they do so only as a member of the community of the faith. Jesus Christ did not promise to make anyone a fisher of men. Rather, he promised his disciples, I will make you plural fishers of men. Fishing for men is a group activity. We are made fishers of men in union with each other. For anyone to be made a fisher of men is dependent upon them belonging to an intimate, loving, supernatural union with other believers. Once again, this should not surprise us, for Jesus Christ becoming a fisher of men depended upon his union with his disciples, his sacrificial love for his disciples. Such sacrificial love, indeed, was the demonstration of his intimate, loving union with his Father. Jesus humbly loved the undeserving on earth because of his exalted union with his Father in heaven. Jesus Christ was made a fisher of men in union with sinners. Jesus Christ lived a life of demonstrated sacrificial love. We see this in him serving, suffering, and being slain for his disciples. Jesus served his disciples. If you skip over to John 13, verse 4, we read this. Jesus rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Jesus loved his own who were in the world through humbly serving them. Jesus also suffered for his disciples. In John 18:11, we see Jesus rebuking the apostle Peter as he is being arrested. So this is 18, verse 11, and Jesus says, put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? Jesus loved his disciples to the end, ready and willing to suffer injustice, degradation, abuse for his disciples. Moreover, Jesus was slain for his disciples. In John 15, Jesus says to his disciples, this is verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Jesus loved his disciples by laying down his life for them. What I want us to realize is that Jesus fishing for men cannot be separated from his demonstration of sacrificial love for his disciples. Jesus would not have ultimately caught any men if he had not served, suffered, and been slain in this world. Jesus living a life of demonstrated sacrificial love for his undeserving friends is what made him a successful fisher of men. Jesus Christ was made a fisher of men in union with sinners. However, you must remember that Jesus demonstrated sacrificial love for his disciples was based upon his intimate, loving, heavenly union with his Father. Remember, throughout the book of John, we read, the Father loves the Son. And the Son loves the Father. Because the Father loves the Son, the Father gave the Son a people. And the Father sent the Son into the world. The Son served, suffered, and was slain in the world to secure the people the Father had given him. And he did all this because the Son loves the Father. Jesus demonstrated sacrificial love for his disciples was the earthly result of the intimate, loving, heavenly union between the Father and the Son. If you can remember with me the man on a boat upon the waves of the sea, he is out there fishing because he loves his captain, his Father. And he is catching all the fish he can because he is assured that the Father loves, the captain loves him, his Father loves him. So once again, we can see that the union of our God, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, produced the ministry of the man, Jesus Christ. A ministry characterized by demonstrated sacrificial love. And it is with such demonstrated sacrificial love that made Jesus a successful fisher of men. It was him serving, suffering, and sacrificing for his disciples that made Jesus a successful fisherman. Jesus was made a fisherman in union with sinners. Now, as we noted earlier, we are made fishers of men in union with each other. Just as Jesus, the Son of God, demonstrated sacrificial love for his disciples, we are called to demonstrate sacrificial love for each other. Even more so, like Jesus, our sacrificial love for each other is what will make us successful fishers of men. We too cannot separate fishing for men from demonstrating sacrificial love for those who don't deserve it. Fishing for men is practiced, always practiced in the context of serving, suffering, and sacrificing for each other. So demonstrated sacrificial love is what will make us successful fishers of men. We are made fishers of men in union with each other. Jesus said to his disciples in John, this is John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Indeed, we are to be known by our sacrificial love for each other. However, just like Jesus demonstrated sacrificial love for his disciples, was based upon his intimate, loving, heavenly union with his Father, our demonstrated sacrificial love for each other, for those who don't deserve it, is to be based upon our intimate, loving, heavenly union with Christ. Jesus has sacrificially loved us, which has brought about us being united with him in heaven. And we reciprocate Jesus' love within our intimate, loving, heavenly union with him by demonstrating sacrificial love to each other on earth. Jesus loves us. Because Jesus loves us, He gives us a mission to accomplish. Jesus sends us into the world. We serve, suffer, and sacrifice in this world toward accomplishing the mission Jesus has given us, all because we love Jesus. It is our sacrificial love, produced by our union with Christ in heaven, that will enable us to accomplish the mission He has given us. Growing in demonstrated sacrificial love for those who don't deserve it, produced by our union with Christ in heaven, is how we will be made fishers of men. Imagine with me again, us on a boat, on the waves of the sea. We are trying to fish. However, we're not getting along on the boat. We can't expect to be able to catch any fish. Rather, only when we learn to love each other and work together will we ever catch any fish out of the sea. For the sake of our captain who loves us, let us love each other. Let us love those who don't deserve it and catch all the fish we can. So we've seen how we are made fishers of men in union with God. We're made fishers of men in union with the church, with each other. Us humbly loving the undeserving on earth to be the result of our exalted union with Christ in heaven. We fish in the context of serving, suffering, and sacrificing for each other. Now, I'm not going to spend as much time on the last point, but don't take that to mean it's any less important. But let's see lastly how we are made fishers of men in disunion with the world. We were made fishers of men in disunion in the world. If we go back to John 15:5 one last time, we see Jesus' sobering warning. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Once again, Jesus warns us that our supernatural union with Himself, and by extension, our loving supernatural union with each other, are absolutely necessary. Without them, we can do nothing. However, even more fundamentally, Jesus' warning reveals that it is possible to be apart from Him, away from Him. Those apart from Christ, those away from Christ, are a part of the world. And therefore, conversely, those who are a part of Christ will be apart from, away from the world. We are made fishers of men in disunion with the world. For anyone to be made a fisher of men is dependent upon them being in disunion with the fallen, depraved, condemned world. One last time, this should not surprise us. For Jesus Christ was made a fisher of men in disunion with a fallen, depraved, and condemned world. Jesus' disunion, or His not belonging to the world, was because He belonged to His Father in heaven. Jesus was apart from the world, away from the world, because He was one with His Father. Jesus Christ was made a fisher of men in disunion with the world. Jesus lived a life of embodied truth. We see this in him both speaking truth and living according to the truth. Jesus spoke the truth. In John 14:24, we read, Jesus says, "Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Jesus only spoke his Father's words. And he says elsewhere of his Father's word, "Your word is truth." Jesus not only spoke the truth, but he lived according to the truth. He was the truth. In his response to Thomas in John 14:6, he says, "I am the way and I am the truth." Jesus lived in accordance with the truth. He embodied the truth. He was the truth. What I want us to see is that Jesus' speaking and embodying the truth was done in a world that hates the truth. Truth in Scripture is pictured often as light. And in John 3:20, where you read, "Everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed." This world hates light. It hates truth. It was precisely because Jesus was the truth, spoke the true words of his Father, and only spoke his Father's words that the world hated him. If Jesus had not spoken the truth, the world would have loved him. But if the world loved Jesus, then he would have never been made a fisher of men. For Jesus would have then just been another fish in the fallen, depraved, condemned sea of this world. Fish don't fish. However, Jesus did speak and live the truth, and the world hated him. This is what made the Son of God a fisher of men. Jesus was made a fisher of men in disunion with the world. Now, as we noted earlier, we too are made fishers of men in disunion with the world. Just as Jesus, belonging as the Son to the Father of truth, just how he spoke the true words of his Father and was the true revelation of the Father, resulting in the world hating him, we belong to Jesus. We are to speak the true words of Jesus and are to truly reveal Jesus through our lives, resulting in the world hating us. If we don't speak the truth, the world will love us. However, if the world loves us, then we cannot be made fishers of men. For if the world loves us, then we will only be another group of fish in the fallen, depraved, condemned sea of this world. However, if we speak and live the truth, the world will hate us. And we will be made fishers of men. We are made fishers of men in disunion with the world. And I think all of you understand what I'm trying to say, as far as it's not that we go around making the world hate us intentionally, but by definition of us being of the truth. When you carry it out to its final result, that's what's going to happen. And that's what we should expect. It's not when we make that as some sort of merit for our sake, but that's just the reality of the matter. So imagine one last time, we are in a boat upon the waves of the sea, we want to fish. However, if we get out of the boat and begin acting like fish, we won't catch any fish. Remember, fish don't fish. We must remain in the boat, just like our captain did, if we want to catch fish. So we've seen this morning how we are made fishers of men in union with God, in union with the church, and in disunion with the world. Speaking and living truth is how we are made fishers of men. I want to end, ironically enough, with an illustration from the world. But I believe it helps to picture how we might feel as we desire and strive to be made fishers of men. Have you ever watched the original Karate Kid? It's a classic movie from the 80s. And there's a young character, Daniel LaRusso. And this character, Daniel, he asks his old Japanese friend, Mr. Miyagi, to teach him karate. Mr. Miyagi agrees. While Daniel is excited, Mr. Miyagi, his initial instructions to Daniel are for him to do menial chores, to sand the deck, to wax the car, to paint the fence. And it doesn't take long for Daniel to become frustrated with Mr. Miyagi. Mr. Miyagi, I thought you were going to teach me karate, but all I've been doing is your chores for the last 4 days. I've had enough, I give up. It's only then does Mr. Miyagi show Daniel that the various motions involved in sanding the deck, waxing the car, and painting the fence are the very motions involved in practicing karate. Mr. Miyagi had been training Daniel in karate all along as he accomplished the chores. In a similar fashion, we come to Jesus wanting to be made fishers of men. We're excited to hear his promise, I will make you fishers of men. But we find Jesus instructing us in the menial tasks of faith and obedience, loving those that are undeserving, or speaking truth when it's unpopular. And we become frustrated and think, Jesus, I thought you promised to make me a fisher of men, but all you have me doing is learning to trust you, learning to love others, learning to speak truth. What gives? I give up. So only then will Jesus show us that the virtues of faith, love, and truth are the necessary characteristics of any successful fisher of men. Jesus promises to make fishers of men. He promises us to make us fishers of men as his disciples. We will be transformed as we are in relationship with him. Indeed, our transformation on earth is rooted in our union with Christ in heaven. Because of our union with Christ, we are made fishers of men. Let us remember that fishers of men are made in heaven. Amen. Father God, we come Lord, as those that you have chosen, that you have united with your Son. And Lord, we long to be made fishers of men. Lord, to be used by you to bring others to faith. Lord, sometimes it's discouraging because we don't see that happening in our lives, or we seem unsuccessful. Lord God, we pray that you would encourage our hearts with your promise, that you promised to make us fishers of men, and help us to realize that, Lord, you make us fishers of men as your disciples, as you teach us to, Lord, trust you and to obey you, to love those that are undeserving around us, to by speaking what is true and living according to what is true. So Lord, we thank you that you are faithful to your word, and so we come and sit before you and cling to your word and to yourself, and just Lord, thank you that you are working in our lives, Lord, indeed, to make us fishers of men. And we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. Our last hymn, remind me, what's the number?
529.
529.
Love divine.